It's time to go behind enemy lines, and we do so with Pat Leonard of the New York Daily News. Pat, we are just hearing that Bradley Chubb will not go for the Broncos today, so that's a bit of a break, I would guess, for Andrew Thomas. Can you tell us about Thomas, Solder, Pert, the offensive line and tackle situation for the Giants?
Yes, that is a huge break for Andrew Thomas on the left tackle spot because he was the number four overall pick last year, and he had a really bad preseason finale against the Patriots where we saw some of the bad stuff that we saw in his rookie year, and he would have faced up against Chubb on that left tackle spot on the right side of the D-line. So we have Von Miller going up against Nate Solder to start at the right tackle position on the other side, and Matt Parrott as the swing tackle backup. You're probably going to see all three of them on the field at times because, frankly, with the strength of the Broncos secondary and the way the Giants have to operate as an offense conservatively, they're going to need to run the ball a lot, go into jumbo packages, and really do everything they can to protect Daniel Jones. But certainly Chubb not playing is a major deal and advantage Giants in that sense.
Saquon Barkley, I assume, will play, but how much will we see him?
He'll be, you know, that's a good question because I think the consensus and what I gather is that they're not going to, you know, ride him today like they would in a normal 100% healthy type of day. But on the other hand, Joe Judge did admit that if you give this guy the ball and his first couple touches look great and his body's responding well and he's full go and the doctors are telling you he's full go, then maybe the plan changes a little. So I don't think you're going to see 20 touches from him. The plan is probably more like 10, but I certainly don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that you could see a few more if his legs are underneath him and if they're not concerned about him re-injuring himself.
I think the Giants and the Broncos have something in common, Pat. They both think this is a pretty winnable game for each side, and we'll see how that turns out. But I am curious if that is the feeling from the Giants' side of thing about the Broncos.
No, I think this game sets up very favorably for the Broncos. I think from the Giants' end of it, you have to play a little bit closer to a perfect game than if you're Denver, if that makes sense. Like, I think the Giants, if they turn the ball over, as Daniel Jones has been prone to doing, and you're already talking about a tough Denver defense to score touchdowns on, and then if you're giving Teddy Bridgewater and that offense a short field, it's going to be very difficult for the Giants to win or even keep a game like this close. I do think, you know, the turnover game on both sides is going to be a huge deal. The Giants have most of their weapons in the lineup after guys like Kenny Galladay, Kyle Rudolph, Kadarius Toney, Saquon Barkley were all banged up. But they're all in the lineup, but are they all going to be full go? I think it really comes down to the Broncos' pass rush and secondary and defense is going to limit what the Giants' offense is going to do. So as long as Teddy Bridgewater, and I think that's part of why the quarterback decision for Denver was so important, is because not that Teddy can't turn the ball over, but I think if he's just even a little bit less reckless than Drew Lock had been last season, then I think that's what you're seeing why Denver should be able to control this game. So I think the Giants are really trying to come out with creative game planning early and maybe hit Denver in the mouth before they're even ready to be. So I would look for maybe a deep shot to Darius Slayton early on a play action from the Giants, and even some more aggressive play calling than normal from defensive coordinator Pat Graham to try to get Denver kind of on their heels and off kilter early on.
Year three for Daniel Jones. Is there legitimate optimism that things will pop for him in year three, or is there serious concern about whether or not this guy will ever amount to being the guy?
I think the pressure's on. You know, I think that what makes Jones so frustrating here in New York, New Jersey, is he always seems to do just enough to show that glimmer of hope and then always seems to throw something in there, whether it's a turnover or a bad decision, that makes you still have that question mark lingering. I think right now the offensive line's lack of quality, at least what it looks like, and the fact that his new weapons that they acquired this offseason haven't been healthy, they threaten Jones's ability to really get off to as quick of a start as he would need to and approve his third season. So I think, you know, on that end, you kind of have to give Jones a, not a pass, but a little bit of an asterisk next to what he's working with. That said, we saw it in the preseason finale. You know, a great drive all the way down to the goal line and then a turnover in the end zone against New England. Stuff that we saw last season that cost the Giants games. I think that's what you're looking at, too, when it's a make-or-break year for a quarterback like this. It's not just about, you know, can he show it all or nothing? It's not just like black and white, but it's more about, is he costing your team games consistently? So I think it's not just about playing perfectly, but it's also about not losing the team games and really just being a reason that you're winning more. Because frankly, it sounds obvious, but the Giants, whatever positives you've seen pop up over these last couple months or even years with certain individual players, and Daniel Jones included, they just haven't won enough games, and John Mara is tired of losing.
All right, last one, Pat, and we appreciate your time. Pat Leonard of the New York Daily News. It's obvious the 20th anniversary of 9/11. I'm curious what you think the emotional impact of that anniversary will play in today's game.
Well, we've already seen some of the Giants players like Saquon Barkley and Kyle Rudolph warming up with 9/11 tribute T-shirts, FDNY, NYPD hats on a lot of the coaches. You know, some beautiful, like, United States-shaped American flag that's going to gigantically sprawl across the stadium. Ton of emotion here. I was just at an event pregame with Eli Manning and some people opening, like, it's called the Legacy Club here at the stadium, and there were some first responders there being honored as part of Hackensack Meridian Health's effort in helping people 20 years ago. And they got a standing ovation, and, you know, you can't escape the emotion. And it's going to be here all the way up until and through kickoff. And, you know, the Giants and the Broncos certainly from the morning, this morning and yesterday when I woke up and saw them honoring the fallen heroes on social media all the way through the end of this game, I think everyone, it's going to be on everybody's minds all day.
Pat, give us your prediction.
31-10 Broncos. I think the Giants offense has to show it to me before I can believe in it. And I think that 31 points for Denver includes either offensive points on a short field or defensive points on a turnover. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, when people in New York talk about the Giants and optimism, they talk a lot about the players they believe in on their team. But, you know, you don't hear Justin Simmons' name enough when you talk about and the cornerbacks in the secondary. I just think there's too much to contend with on Denver's defense.
We appreciate it, Pat Leonard of the New York Daily News.